Oh, yes, I am. It is good to be with you. It is good to be home. I want to tell you about my summer, but before I do, I want to thank you. I first want to thank you for your commitment to allowing me to have a renewal leave. I have heard from clergy colleagues that they have been denied renewal leave, even after many years of ministry, even though the Book of Discipline says it's required. It is a big commitment for a church to say, go ahead, go away, we'll be fine. So for that, I want to thank you. It was a real step in faith for all of you. I want to thank all those people who shared their words and their word, all the guest preachers, the lay people. I listened to many of the sermons online. How wonderful of you all. I want to thank Brandon, who's downstairs with the kids, and I want to really thank Sheena, who's gone this weekend. She'll be back Tuesday, for running the office, for doing what she does all the time, every day, just amazingly keeping things going. But once again, I really do want to thank Pastor Kerry. It is with no worry whatsoever, maybe wanting to butt in, but not the same as worry. Really no worry. Had all kinds of opinions I just had to flush down the toilet, but other than that, it was good. It was wonderful for her to spread her wings and to give me cover. So I am feeling very blessed. I always have, though. And by the way, I wasn't taken up in a chariot like Elijah, for those of you who heard that sermon. So I did have to come back. God did not take me up and leave you with my mantle, but you have your own mantle. I listened to that sermon, too. It was a summer of surprises, which, by the way, is not a surprise. If I had not had some surprises, the summer would not have been what I expected. To be still and be quiet and to know God, whatever that means, does mean that you should be faced with something, right? So there were many surprises. I learned a lot more about myself and about my ministry. But I want to share some of the aspects with you, but I need to begin with the one thing that I never got to talk to you about, and that's the mission trip. I was off 1 week, and then off we went, a bunch of us, to South Dakota, to the Tree of Life Ministry on the Rosebud Reservation. And to say it was life-changing is, of course, not a surprise. It was profound beyond belief. I did a number of things that week. We all did. We signed up for some things. The first thing I did was I spent a couple of days bagging sugared cereal with Olivia Hirota. I got to know her quite well, and I can't look at sugared cereal anymore. But it reminded me of the poor nutrition of people who have very little, because what people were donating were boxes and boxes and boxes of sugared cereal. So it was a real moment there in that food pantry. I worked in the garden. I helped Jeff bag frozen corn. Bless his heart. That got old after about 6 hours. It's hard work. A lot of it was hard work, physical hard work. But my favorite time was the last 2 days I went to the White River Nursing Home. And I met wonderful people. I met wonderful staff people. And I met some amazing people who are residents of the White River Nursing Home. We bowled. We bowled in the lobby with a bowling set. I got to play a lot of cards. I played cards with Margaret Bend at the Knee and Bernice Hawkman. And what was most challenging, besides not winning every hand, was to be present with these gracious women. Margaret was an elderly woman had some dementia, but obviously used to be a really good card player. Bernie was 37 years old and had a brain tumor, and had had a brain tumor, and was very challenged, very, very smart. But she didn't know how to play cards. And we played rummy, and she always wanted to pick up the pile. So the game would go on for a while. But they sat and told me their stories while we played cards. And Bernie told me the stories of everybody at White River because she had been there a while and was going to be there a while. But she also imparted some wisdom to me that I have to share with you, and I told her I would share it with you. At one point during the card game, I said, "Oh, shoot." And Bernie said in her beautiful Native American lyrical voice, "Oh, Betty, shoot happens." I laughed so hard. She smiled. She knew exactly what she had said. And I told her I was going to use that for the rest of my life. What was really profound were the evenings, every evening, and I'm sure Carrie and others have shared some of this with you, that people from the Native community would come and share their gifts, their talks, their rituals, all kinds of things about their culture. And what was amazing, and we discussed this at the end of the trip, is that they did it all with such unbelievable compassion and grace. They sat and told us stories of terror. They told us quietly stories of Catholic boarding schools and of having everything that they'd ever owned stripped away from them. They did all of this, and at the end of each evening, the person who would come would say to us, "Thank you for coming. We appreciate the Tree of Life Ministry and the work that you do on the reservation." They thanked us after they told us the history of how our people were tied to their people. And at the end of every evening, this is what I heard. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It was so incredible to be offered such grace from people who had so little. When I came back from the trip, changed, of course, it was time for me to get to my list. I had made a list. I am a J on the Myers-Briggs. I have a list for every day. And here's what I was going to do. Every day I was going to exercise. Every day I was going to pray. Every day I was going to write. And every day I was going to practice the piano. A summer of solitude and reflection. Doesn't that sound like me? Yes. But you know, John Lennon said it best. I was making plans and life happened. And my life that happened was our daughter Amanda. Some of you met Amanda before the summer was out. Amanda came to live with us in February. Amanda's going to be 35 next month. She's our youngest daughter. She is just like me. She is never wrong, opinionated, and will share her thoughts unbidden all the time. Actually, all four of us are like that. And I was trying to think of a Bible verse to express my experience with Amanda, and the first thing I thought of was, you know, honor your mother and your father. But what came to mind that I thought fit much better was, "Get behind me, Satan." And she felt exactly the same way about me. I had plans, and there she was, saying, "Would you mind picking me up some hummus when you go to the grocery store?" But there is another reality to Amanda's time with us. My summer relationship with Amanda came about because Amanda was hurt and broken. And week before last, she has moved back to San Diego now to be with her sisters and her nieces and her friends. She moved back whole and healed. And it makes me pause and thank God that all my prayers have been answered. We never stop needing fathers and mothers. And when I think of all the images of God as father and mother in the Bible, why should that surprise us? If you're a parent, most of your prayers are for your children. It cannot be helped. You never stop wanting to take care of them. And we need a parent, a loving parent, regardless of age or stage of life. I remember the Syrophoenician woman who begged Jesus, commanded Jesus to help her child, even though he actually rebuked her. And the Roman centurion who brought his faith to Jesus, and Jesus healed his daughter, even though others thought that she was dead. We were blessed to have that bundle of life and light with us, and we are fulfilled that she is starting over in a new life. We had a couple of wonderful things happen. We got a new dog. Her name is Easter. We got her the day before Easter. She's a golden retriever. She's complicated. She's a pain in the butt. She's wonderful. She is a reminder that animals are complicated and they are an amazing blessing to our life, because no matter when we go home, it's like Christina Howe says, you exist again, you exist again. That's what she says. Simon says every time she walks in the door from work, you exist again. The dog's been wonderful. What's really been wonderful is that Lance and I have been able to go hiking. We had lost that. We used to do that all the time. And so Sunday mornings when you were over here singing your little hearts out, we were sneaking off into the car and leaving. And what I am struck by is how much I had lost that nurture of being connected through nature and God's creation, and how much we had suffered for it, because we lead such busy lives and we hadn't been intentional about it. And I thought of all the psalmists and their expressions of the heavens and the moons and the suns and the stars. And I would remind you that if you lose that part of your life, that if you have lost being connected to God's creation, there is love and grace and nurture there that you cannot get anywhere else. So I would say, don't take it for granted. It is wonderful. Now let me talk about some of the other stuff. Let's talk about the writing. Okay, have you ever heard Parkinson's Law? Work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion. Well, see, I thought I was going to write a ton, but I only wrote a bunch. And the writing was very difficult. I'm a storyteller. I like to talk to people, but sitting in front of a computer or even with a pad of paper, collecting my thoughts is an unnatural way for me to communicate. So it was a real struggle. I really appreciate when I think of Pastor Carrie and Dixie and Jeff, people who just sit down and write beautiful, beautiful words. And they're so engaged with the written word. It is not a natural thing for me, but I did it anyway, although I did think of St. Paul a lot, and I thought, you know, to my friends at Rome, and my friends at Galatia, and my friends at Corinth, and my friends everywhere and everywhere, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the man never stopped writing, and I thought, I should be like him. But I was more like him in this way. Oh, wretched woman that I am, why do I do what I don't want to do? And I had a lot to say. Paul and I are both very opinionated. He wrote a lot more down. I was thinking maybe I should take all my writings and send them as a letter to Rome and see what happens, but I'll talk about the writing more, and I'll talk about the book more. Maybe there'll be a sermon someday, and We're definitely going to have some discussions with anyone who'd like to have about the topics that I'm struggling with, that is so important for me to somehow to convey before my life is over. I did a lot of reading, but mostly what I read, I'm not going to be able to put on my clergy continuing education form. I'm pretty sure that the DS doesn't care that I read The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and The Girl Who Played with Fire. And I'm waiting for the library to send me The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. I mean, it was spiritual for me, but, you know, mostly it was just junk. The thing that I want to share with you that's the most intimate thing, though, is what I struggled with this summer. Given too much time, I overanalyze everything. What happens is, rather than looking forward, my past raises its ugly head up, and it's full of self-doubts. And after those self-doubts take hold, the past starts chasing me day to day, all over the place. So I had a lot of obvious blessings this summer, but I had some darkness too. So I did what I recommend to any of you, if any of you want clarity and have never done this. I went back to my therapist. And at one point she said to me, would you close your eyes for a moment? So I did. And she said, now I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to tell me what you see. Where is the absolute safest place you could be? And guess what popped in my head? This room. This sanctuary. And then she said, imagine what's happening there. And I could see you all, and you were all hugging each other, and you were hugging me. And we were singing songs and saying prayers, and I could hear the words. There were words of grace spoken and sung. I had been so disconnected from this place, and this place, for my whole life, has been the source of my being. The sanctuary brings God to life for me. I was more surprised about that than you'll know, that worship is the medium that is used to speak to God, to speak about God, and to listen to God. It helps keep the darkness at bay for me. The psalmist wrote, like the deer that yearns for running streams, so my soul is yearning for you, my God. My soul is thirsting for God, the living God. When can I enter to see the face of God? My tears have become my food night and day, and I hear it said all day long, where is your God? I remember all these things as I pour out my soul. How would I lead the joyous procession into the house of God with cries of gladness and thanksgiving, the multitude wildly happy? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I was missing the worship experience in ways that surprised even this progressive minister. See, I can rationalize everything with my head when it comes to my faith, including why we don't really have to be here. I mean, God is everywhere. Again, blah, blah, blah. But I was missing not just the songs and the prayers and the hugs. I was missing something else. During the summer, our middle daughter, Michelle, got married, and she went to Cleveland, where my family is, for her wedding reception, so my parents could be there because they can't travel anymore. So we all hiked out to Cleveland, had a great time, danced, and ate, and just had a wonderful little informal wedding reception. But while we were there, Cleveland, Ohio being the center of the universe, 17 of us went to Cedar Point. The greatest amusement park in the world. I mean, people travel from all over the world to come because every big roller coaster is there. And I love roller coasters. So all 17 of us did a whole big thing that day, and it was wonderful. But As much as I love scary rides, I went on one that I need to tell you about. It was called Max Air. It was round, big and round, 50 seats where you sat down with the bar over your head and your feet hung down. And it was on this pendulum. So it started to swing this way, higher and higher in the air. And as it swung, then that big circle started to spin. Well, I had a niece on either side of me. And as we got about halfway up, I yelled, "I love you, Larissa." She said, "I love you too, Aunt Betty." I said, "I love you, Jillian." She said, "I love you too, Aunt Betty." I thought I was going to die. And I love scary things, but as it got higher, I started screaming, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God." I was louder than Pastor Carrie is on rides, and she's very loud. So is Michael House. People scream the whole time they're on rides. I'm screaming, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." And then I got more scared, and it turned to, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord." Well, when we finally got to the top, I yelled, "Dear Jesus!" And my nieces started laughing because they never heard me say anything like that before. And I really, really was scared. At the end of my therapist's exercise with my eyes closed, she said to me, "What is it that you miss the most?" And I said, "Jesus." Now, I got to tell you, that was a surprise. Not because I don't know about my relationship with Christ, but because Jesus is everywhere. God is everywhere. I can call and pray to Jesus. I had become so disconnected from the one whom I follow that the darkness had overcome me. So it was a surprise. And I thought of the woman with the hemorrhage. And I thought about how she ran through the streets, pushing people away to grab the hem of his robe. And she knew that that's all she needed to do to be healed. And I had not held on to the hem of his robe. It was a surprise. What I learned is that it is Jesus who is my max air, who gives me all the breath, who lifts me up and spins me and gives me life. I am so glad to be back with you. I am so glad to hear the words in the songs. I am so glad to be back in the house of my Lord. Amen.